Dipti's joining us now to look through the papers. Israel strikes against Hezbollah in Lebanon killed almost 500 people yesterday, including, of course, dozens of children. The papers are talking about that, Dipti.
Yeah, that's right. So this is from Al Akba, which is a pro-Hezbollah paper. This is the headline on its front page today: "The Monster of Gaza Destroys Lebanon." The paper admitting that Hezbollah fired first against Israel to show its support for Gaza. It adds. Hezbollah didn't react like kids in a neighborhood who wanted to take revenge on a neighbor who insulted us. I quote, "We acted with full consciousness of what we were doing because the essence of resistance and our central objective is the elimination of the occupying force." So that paper there saying that Hezbollah did make the first move and it had very solid reasons for doing so. For the Arab language Lebanese paper Anaha, this is the front page here, the paper referring to the country being in a, quote, dark tunnel or a tunnel of darkness, referring to that bloody and destructive day yesterday that killed nearly 500 people in the country. And this is from L'Orient Le Jour, the French language Lebanese paper, on its front page, evoking the idea that a nightmare has now become a reality. The paper says war was on Lebanon's doorstep for many months, but it was relatively dormant, limited, and appeared far away, up until yesterday at least, when war was unleashed with a fury on Lebanon. And in its analysis, Laurent Nujour's editorial today says, just to what point will this war become complete and total? The paper's editor says, we're no longer talking about minor escalations or low-intensity conflict. This is a full-blown war now, and Hezbollah will not give in and will not stop fighting until a ceasefire is concluded in Gaza.
What about the Israeli press then, Dipti? What are they saying?
Well, varied responses depending on the political line of the Israeli papers. This is from the Jerusalem Post, a pretty hard-line Israeli paper, which in its front page reprises Benjamin Netanyahu's statement yesterday that Israel will not wait for the threat, but will not wait for a threat, but will rather preempt any threats to its national sovereignty. In its editorial, the paper's editor says, calls those Israeli strikes on Lebanon long overdue, saying that Israel has finally responded with decisive action against Hezbollah after years of constant provocation. And the paper says it's not just justified, it's long overdue. I quote, "No sovereign nation would stand idle while its citizens are targeted and its security is undermined. Israel is no exception to that." Now, from Haaretz, the center-left paper in Israel, it's a little bit more measured, a bit more moderate in its response. In fact, the paper offers a very sharp rebuke of Israel today, saying it took, quote, "another giant step towards greenlighting state terror. It has used violent means to impose terror and suffering on Gaza, the occupied West Bank, and now Lebanon."
Let's move on to a different story now. We're going to go to Italy, in fact. A trial opened yesterday into the murder of a young woman, which casts a spotlight on attitudes towards domestic violence there.
Yeah, that's right. And also how domestic violence is prosecuted. Stuart, you might remember we spoke about this on the press review last year, the death of Julia Cecchettin. She was stabbed to death by her ex-boyfriend last November in a very gruesome case that made international headlines. That the ex-boyfriend had actually fled to Austria before he was arrested and captured in Germany. Her body was found in a mountainous part of Italy with 75 stab wounds on all over her body. Excuse me. As this local paper here, Corriere del Veneto, says, the trial opened yesterday in the absence of the defendant, Filippo Turetta, in a Venice courtroom. Prosecution and defense teams have decided not to call any witnesses during this trial, so it will be an expedited trial with a verdict expected for early December. Turetta himself was not in court yesterday, but he will be there later in October. Excuse me. This is from another Italian paper here, which also looks at civil cases filed by certain associations and municipalities, but those cases have been dismissed by the judge.
Finally from Dipti, it was a surprise hit film back in 1994, if you remember that far back. Shawshank Redemption. I remember loving this film. It's so long ago since I've seen it. It turns 30 this year.
Yeah, who would believe it? It turns 30. It was an iconic classic film of the 90s, but when it came out, it was a total flop. It did get nominated for 7 Oscars after its release, and the critical acclaim really came in the years afterwards. The film starred Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman. It was based on a book by Stephen King about a man framed for killing his wife and her lover. The Independent tells us that producers actually wanted Tom Cruise initially for the role that later became the role that was played by Tim Robbins. And we know that that relationship between Tim Robbins and the characters of Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman is what made that film also so iconic. If you've seen the film, you might remember, and I hope I don't spoil it for you if you haven't, if you haven't seen the film, but the end, the whole part of this film is that escape scene at the end. Tim Robbins' character makes his way through the sewage system to freedom. As it turns out, People magazine tells us that that scene, that the sewage tunnel was actually totally clean, even though it looked dirty. But then he ends up in a creek that in real life was actually quite toxic, filled with cow poop. They had to dam the creek and then sterilize it in order to film that iconic scene, a scene that obviously became synonymous with The Shawshank Redemption.
I need to watch it again. It's such a long time since I saw it, but I do remember it being a fabulous film. Dipti, thanks very much.